Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. It's great to be here as a fellowship of believers, and we're glad that each of you are here, whether it's in person or watching remotely. And today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I hope it's not the only Sunday or day that we appreciate our pastors, and I know that it's not. Today's a special day for us to call attention to the many ways in which we appreciate them and are blessed by their leadership. At this time, let's bow for a word of prayer before we begin. Lord God, we just acknowledge that you are Lord over all. We thank you for your provision, and we just acknowledge you as the giver of every good and perfect gift, even the ones that we don't yet appreciate. And we just confess our need for you, we confess our sin, and we thank you that you have provided a way to make our relationship right with you and with the people around us. We thank you for the gift of life, of hope, of your word, of our ability to bring praise to you. We thank you for our leaders today. Just help us to honor them today and each day in their role in serving you. We ask that we would hear and respond to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, well, these first four songs we're going to play are for pastors. These are songs they picked out, and I do also want to thank our pastors. Do more for us than we can honestly even imagine, as the message that are brought and the things that they do, it's all wonderful stuff, and we thank you. So I am going to ask the ushers just to come forward right away. We'll get all that taken care of, and let's start this first song. Here you go, Larry.
Thank you.
Let us pause to give thanks and ask a blessing, Lord, on these gifts that we bring to you. Father, it's a reminder that it's a portion of all that you pour out in us. We ask that you would take these gifts and multiply them to meet the needs of this congregation, and specifically of our pastors and leaders. Lord, in these inflationary times, I ask that you would stretch and cause these dollars to meet all of their every needs, and help us to be eager to give encouragement and things that can't be paid with a checkbook, but that we would carry forward your gifts that you've given us into blessing the lives of our pastors and leaders today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I invite you to stand. And, Tony, here's one for you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, thank you this morning. We just thank you for the great leaders we have here at Bowmansville that help each one of us. We just pray this morning for Carl that he can just give him the words that we need to hear. Open our ears, open our hearts that we hear what you are saying through him. Just thank you for this wonderful day. And I just pray we can have a great time of fellowship this morning. Just pray all this to you in Jesus' name.
There's some more coming. Morning. Do any of you know any sign language?
I used to.
You used to. Do you know what sign language means? What's that? A. Okay, good job. Sign language is a way people use hand motions to speak to somebody who can't hear. So I'm going to teach you a few. Can you go like this? This means thank you. Thanks or thank you. This is God. And this is a hard word. Indescribable. Can you do that? Indescribable. And this is gift, like you're giving somebody a gift. I don't know sign language, but I looked it up, so I'm hoping I'm doing them right. If anybody knows, I'm sorry if I'm doing it wrong. But so it's a simple little verse in the Bible that says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that gift we're talking about? What is the gift God gives to us? Do you know? Yes, Jesus is the one who made that gift possible of eternal life. Good job. So let's try it again. Ready? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, okay? So it's that time of year, did you see the shoeboxes downstairs? Where we can share Jesus with somebody around the world. Last year, our gifts went to Africa. That's on the other side of the world. So last year, when I talked about gifts, shoeboxes, I was like, I'd love to have someone come that was there to receive the boxes. And God bless our congregation with some family that has been somewhere where they've seen the boxes delivered. So I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time talking about shoeboxes. I think most people know the details. If you have any questions, if you're new, just see me afterwards. But you have a month to go shopping for a child, a boy or girl, and pack a box to send somewhere. And Randy Umble is gonna talk about what it's like on the other side where people, where they receive the gifts, okay? Sure.
So when we were in Ecuador, we got to see children receive these gift boxes, all right? And so first, before I share too much, I have one question for you. Do you think you could fit all of your toys in this box? No? No, it'd be kind of hard to. You could fit a lot of good stuff in here though, right? Yeah. All right. Well, Jesus said something to his disciples one time. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what that means is the person who gives is actually happier than the person that receives, which is pretty amazing. And I was wondering, why would that be that the person who gives is happier than the one who receives? And I think the answer might be, it's because the giver is being like God. Because one thing about God, I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about God, right? But one of the things is he's very generous. He's very giving. One of the first things he did when he created Adam and Eve is he said, I give you the fruit of this trees, these trees. All this stuff is for you. And it brought him joy to give. And it brings us to joy to give too. But I want to show you some pictures of the joy that you can see on faces of kids that received these boxes in Ecuador. So Miles, if we could have those up here. The first pictures were taken very recently. I actually wasn't here in person for this. This was in a city called Cuenca in Ecuador, and a friend of ours was giving them out. So we can keep seeing these. Now, this next picture, this little boy, his name is Santiago, and this was actually taken a long time ago. This was at the church that we attended when we were living in the jungle village there in Ecuador. And so you can go to the next one. This is some of the boys who were very excited to receive their gifts. They're opening them up, get to see what's in there. And this last picture is a whole group of people waiting. Now, if you just pause it there, there's someone in this congregation who is in that picture. I don't know if you see someone there in a blue t-shirt, but that's Katie when she was little. She's my daughter. Anyways, so my kids, since they were part of the church, they got to receive a gift too, as missionary kids there. And it was really, really fun. Now, sometimes we kind of chuckled a little bit because this was a jungle village and, you know, you get like little, you know, in the wintertime, you guys are excited to receive maybe gloves, like warm gloves. Well, we got some warm gloves and we were in the jungle, but that was all right. It was a lot of, I mean, it was exciting. You can think about opening a box and just, you know, the excitement of opening a box. Now, I want you to think about this. You're excited to open a box, and you have lots of toys, right? There is one little boy, and this is a story that was told to us, and he was in Quito, Ecuador. This is the capital city. And at the time, he was in the hospital. He was in a children's hospital, and there was a group from the high school, the Christian high school, that would go, and they had these boxes, and they would give a box to a child there and talk to them, share Jesus' love with them. And so the mom was there with the boy, and she helped him open the box, and the boy's eyes got big when he looked inside. And the mom said, "It's okay. You can pick one. You can pick something in there." And the girl who gave the box said, "No. They're all for him." And the mom was shocked. And then she started crying. You know what she said? She said, "He's never had this many toys in his life." And so he was very thankful to get a whole box of toys. Now, obviously, we know that life is more than toys. Yeah, we do. So, another thing that comes in the box is like a little storybook that talks about Jesus. And usually it's not looked at first because there's way other, you know, more exciting things they think in there. But they take that home with them and they have time and they read it or they have someone read it to them. And they get to know about Jesus. So it's a great opportunity, and I probably took way too much time to tell you about that. But thank you very much. I want to pray for you, and then you can have a snack. Father, we thank you for the indescribable gift that you have given us in Jesus. Thank you for your generosity, and I thank you for these kids here. Pray that you would help them learn to be like you. They would be generous like you, and we pray for those who will receive the gifts. And not only would they have happiness and excitement in receiving toys, but I pray that they would get to know Jesus and have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Donna and Randy, and for helping us get a clear picture of the difference that those gifts can make. And this morning, it is my privilege to introduce to you Carl Edwards. Carl is the development director at CrossNet Ministries in New Holland. You might have wondered already, what is CrossNet? Some of you might be more familiar with that than others. So way back in the day, Weaverland Church, one of our sister churches here, founded a youth ministry in New Holland, and it was called Cross Connection. And some of you might remember Connie Nault, Wilmer and Janie Nault's daughter. She was on a Yes team that served there, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. And then a number of years ago, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe it's almost five now, that ministry merged with ESSN, Elanco Social Services Network, I believe that stands for. We have lots of acronyms in the Mennonite Church and in our community here, so I'm going to do my best to try and explain all of them. So they merged so that their services were not duplicated, and it brought the power of both those organizations together into what we now know as CrossNet. So CrossNet exists in our community to offer hope and help in the name of Jesus Christ by empowering people in the Elanco community. That's Eastern Lancaster County, by the way. And so they also provide programs in which the areas of youth, food, nutrition, social services, and in community. So those are the different arenas in which CrossNet exists to serve. And I've enjoyed getting to know Carl over the last number of years in his role, along with the team that surrounds him at CrossNet, and seeing their commitment to being clear about the gospel of Jesus. And a lot of ministries, as they grow, they tend to water down and kind of brush it under the rug, and maybe that was what it started doing, was serving in the name of Jesus. They tend to water that down because they can get maybe more government grants or more donors that give bigger dollars. But I've been pleased to see CrossNet's commitment to maintaining the central nature of the message of Jesus and his truth. And it's with that background that I invite Carl to share with us this morning. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. You okay if I stay on the ground here? Opposed to... I'm a weirdo. I like being close to people. I feel so far away. So I'm just going to slide this over. Bear with me 1 second, if you don't mind. Great to be with you all. I tried to look back at my notes to see the last time I was here, and I think it was 2020. Does anyone remember? You don't have to remember me. It's okay, because I'm back. They asked me to come back again, so it wasn't that bad. Thank you, Keith, there he is, for your introduction. It has been great to get to know you as well. I'm very biased. I love CrossNet Ministries. I love our organization. I have been able to serve there in a few different capacities and roles over the last 6 years. It is a joy to see lives changed by the message of Jesus, but also see people live sustainable lives as well. So before I preach and open God's word, I simply wanted to thank you all for your continued partnership. Bowmansville Mennonite has been a partner of CrossNet for many, many years, and you allow us to continue to reach people in the name of Jesus. So I just want to say thank you. And also recently you all gave a financial donation to our capital campaign. Hopefully you know that or remember that, but we're in the process of growing and expanding, and you all gave a very generous financial donation, which is helping us make this dream become a reality. So we're very close to being done, that capital campaign. The other thing I wanted to do is, again, the funding that you give, the prayers that you give, I really believe impact and change people's lives. One of the programs that Keith mentioned was our social services programs, our social services pillar. And under that, we actually have a housing program called Pathways to Housing. So just a quick update, we are celebrating that we purchased a building maybe about 18 months ago. It's been a process of fundraising to renovate this apartment for this transitional living space. We've done the exterior, two apartments were renovated, and this past Friday, our first family moved in, a single mom, moved into the apartment there. So please be, we're celebrating because it's been so long since we've purchased this space to finally have someone move in. So please be praying for this mom and her kiddos that are living there. She's gonna be meeting with social workers, mentors, to help her reach goals so that when she graduates out of this program, more sustainability can happen in her life. Often when I speak at churches, especially partnering churches, they always ask me at the end, Carl, what in the world are the needs? What is going on? How can we support and how can we continue to encourage your ministry? The two things I wanted to share with you, volunteers are always needed at our organization. I know everyone's time is valuable. I know there are many things that you say yes to, But if there's a way that you would love to give of your time, resource that you have, we're looking for mentors in our organization. We're looking for volunteers in our elementary age programs. And also we're looking for volunteers in our youth center as well. So that's more middle school and high school age. So again, just a couple of needs. You can see me afterwards and we can talk through that. My time is leaving us quickly, and there's some things that I believe the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. So if you looked in your programs, the sermon title today is Expect the Unexpected. I don't know if you saw that, right? And we're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter 3. It's a long passage that we are going to be looking at. And you all know that sometimes when we make assumptions about things, it often gets us into a little bit of trouble. There's a story I've shared before. I don't think I've shared it with you all. But back in the day, I was a student at Lancaster Bible College. I was in the youth ministry program, part of the pastoral studies umbrella. And often as a part of our program and our classes, we had to go to youth retreats and be the guest speaker for the weekend. So I did this often as an undergrad student. So there was one weekend, those youth retreats, you guys know the format. You typically show up on a Friday and the students come home on a Sunday. I played basketball at LBC, so I was not able to attend the Friday session, so I showed up Saturday morning. Does that make sense? You guys following with me? Perfect, great. Miss Friday, showed up on Saturday. I show up to this retreat center, and I was greeted by a woman, and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Carl Edwards. I'm the person you all hired to speak at this retreat." And she goes, "Well, you're not what I expected." What? How would you take that as an individual, right? Okay, but the story doesn't stop there. It continues. So, and it really continues into something I actually think is funnier than that initial interaction. I try to have thick skin as an individual. And I go in and I start to see some of the printed materials, right? You know how they give the kids kind of like you all received a bulletin, a section where they tells them their schedule for the retreat, pages where they can take notes and different things like that. But when I turn in that program, I see my bio, who I am, an undergrad student, playing bad, like all the things about me, but I see a white gentleman's face next to my bio, and it was Carl Edwards, the NASCAR driver. This picture there. This church, this youth group who hired me to come, made some assumptions, and it got them in trouble. She should have probably learned to expect the unexpected a little better. See, friends, the book of Judges, I need to move quickly through some of this. The book of Judges takes us on this journey of the Israelite people and their roller coaster of sin and repentance. It's ebbs and flows of sin and repentance. I really enjoy this book. It covers the dark period of Israel's history. After Joshua dies, the 12 tribes are supposed to remain united under God's leadership, under his rule. However, the people consistently rejected him by worshiping idols. Each time the people rejected them, they became subject to war, oppression, and eventually they would cry out to God, and God provided leadership. As we think about this whole entire book, and I'm sure many of you know it, and if you don't, we're going to spend some time looking at one of the chapters. I don't think that this is just true of the Israelite people. I believe that we struggle with the same exact thing, and I don't want to put something on you. I can just talk about myself. I'll just say I struggle with this as well. I go through cycles of placing things before God, and then I get to this place where I'm broken down and I have to ask God for forgiveness and repent. So for those of you who are note takers, I know there are people that want to have bullet points and notes. I don't necessarily have bullet points, but I do have some things that maybe you would like to write down. So I will pause throughout my message for those of you who are note takers. We do have an overall focus today. I do think there's some themes in our passage, but the overall focus today is this. If forgiveness and salvation are real to you, if forgiveness and salvation are real to you, you will live them out in your life. Pretty simple. If forgiveness and salvation are real to you, you will live those things out in your life. Let's pray, and then we'll go to our passage. Heavenly Father, humbled that you woke us up this morning with mission and purpose. To love you first, and out of that we get to love our neighbors and love our community. Father, bless the reading to your word, the teaching of the word. Allow the Holy Spirit to come through, and that these would be your words not mine. We dedicate this time and this service to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, go ahead. Judges chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. We're going to divide this reading into three different parts, okay? So there's three judges that we're going to talk about. I'm going to read the first portion. We'll talk about that judge, read the second portion, talk about that judge, and end with the third. Does that make sense? Are we good with that? Perfect. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. I will also be honest, and I am not a Hebrew scholar like Pastor Larry. Okay, so there will be some names that I abbreviate because I don't know how to pronounce them like Pastor Weber or could, all right? So, Judges chapter 3, verse 7 says this, "The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served images of Baal and Asherah poles." Verse 8, "Then the Lord burned with anger against Israel. He turned them over to King Cushan of Aram, and the Israelites served Cushan for 8 years. But when the people of the Lord cried out to the Lord for help, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz." Verse 10, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. He went to war against King Cushan of Aram, and the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died." Okay, we're going to pause there. Again, the Israelite people, as we read, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see that God was angry, right? And other translations actually say that God sold them in, they sold them over to their enemy. There's only four times in the book of Judges where it actually says God sold them, or he gave up something, gave his people over to the enemies. And for eight long years, these people were oppressed. They were in war and captivity. And I often pause to wonder, again, as you know the book of Judges, there were periods of time where they were oppressed and they were enslaved. And I often process and think, what was happening? What was going on? What were they working through? What was the disconnect? Why did it take so long for them to repent? Why did it take for them so long to get to this place of, oh, I remember God? But finally, they get to that point where they do. And how does God show compassion? God raises up a judge, the first judge, and his name is Othniel. God sends the Holy Spirit to empower Othniel for his position of leadership. As you know, this is often how the Holy Spirit showed up in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would show up, empower a leader for a purpose, for a task, and they would live that out. This is very similar as you think about Numbers chapter 27. You guys remember Joshua. Joshua was filled with the Holy Spirit and commissioned to lead the people of Israel after Moses' death. So God delivers the people. And there was peace in the land for 40 years. Okay, another thing for you note takers. What can we learn about God in this? What can we learn about ourselves? Repentance is crucial for renewal and restoration. Repentance is crucial for renewal and restoration. It has to be a part of becoming one and becoming right with God. Othniel not only rescued the nation from bondage, but he also served as the people's judge for 40 years. So there was some good leadership qualities about him. Through the Holy Spirit's leading, he exercised authority in managing the affairs of the nation. He was a spiritual and civil leader that brought rest and peace to the land. So as we summarize, again, just these first few verses, God sends trouble, he sends the Holy Spirit, and then he sends leadership. All right, let's keep moving. We're actually going to skip the next session. That's a longer part, and we're going to go to the end of this chapter, verse 31, just one verse. So again, Judges chapter 3, verse 31. We there? Perfect. "After Ehud," again, we're going to talk about Ehud in a few moments, "but after Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad." That's it. One verse. That's all we know. One verse devoted or dedicated to our friend Shamgar. That's it. But there has to be a reason why, right? There's significance to his life. There's significance to his judgeness, or judge, that's not a word, but judgehood. There's significance there. So what we find significant probably is, you know, that he killed 600 people. but maybe even his weapon of choice. He used an ox goad. An ox goad was a strong pole, maybe 8 foot long, that had a sharp metal point on the end. It was just used to prod and to move cattle. And he killed 600 Philistines, 600 of their enemies, 600 oppressors with that weapon. There's not many words shared about him, but I do think there's probably some appropriate or healthy assumptions, again, not inappropriate assumptions, but healthy assumptions that we can make about him. I think we can often say he's a man of persistence, right? We can probably say that he stood his ground in the face of enemy, and we also could probably say that he used his resources well. He used what he had to stand for truth. I also think that Shamgar can help you and I understand something, again, for you note takers, something that you can write down. One job done in the power of God can make you a hero. One job done in the power of God can make you a hero. And I'm not talking about hero as the world defines hero. I'm talking about a hero in the faith. Someone that recognizes that the ways of God and the methods of God are not the ways of man. The world is often looking for better methods, but I believe God is looking for men and women who are willing to be used by God. I believe that God is looking for men and women that understand the power of the Holy Spirit, wise strategy, and have steadfast courage. I also think that this passage helps us understand that God doesn't need tanks, armor, or cannons. I believe that he is willing to use and wants to use faithful people that have a predetermined yes. Faithful people that have a predetermined yes. And I believe you know what a predetermined yes is. A predetermined yes is having a heart set and a mindset that is willing to be used of God no matter what he asks you to do. I think it's hard for us to get to a place of predetermined yes, but my friends, I think as Christ followers in this process of sanctification, that's where we need to go. Let's talk about our last judge in this chapter. Chapter 3, we'll go back, turn a page if you need to verse 12. Verse 12. This is a long section, and I'm not going to read every bit of it. We're going to try to get through it. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Once again, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave King Eglon of Moab control over Israel because of their evil. Eglon enlisted the Amorites and the Amalekites as allies. They went over and defeated Israel, taking possession of Jericho and the city of palms. And Israel served Eglon and Moab for 18 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord again raised up a rescuer, and his name was Ehud, a left-handed man from the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? We're going to skip down to verse 18. After delivering the payment, Ehud started home, and those who had helped him carry the tribute. But when Ehud reached the stone idols of Gilgal, he turned back. He came to Eglon and said, "I have a secret message for you." So the king commanded his servants, "Be quiet," and he sent them all out of the room. Ehud walked over to Eglon, who was sitting alone in the cool upstairs room. Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." And as the king Eglon rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, pulled the dagger strapped to his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. We're going to skip because it's probably rated R a little bit after this. We're going to skip down a little bit, okay? After Ehud was gone, the king's servant returned to the room and found the doors were upstairs were locked. They thought that he might be using the latrine in the room, so they waited. But when the king didn't come out after a long delay, they became concerned and got the key. And when they opened the door, they found their master was dead. And as the story goes on, Ehud went back, gathered the armies, and they defeated King Eglon and the Moabites and killed about 10,000 of their strongest warriors. This story is absolutely wild. You need to read this in your quiet time, in its fullest. I don't do the words of the Lord justice. This could probably be a blockbuster movie, just this few verses. Again, we see this roller coaster pattern of Israel, right, forgetting who God was. After peace in the land, they forgot and they go back to worshiping idols. God raises another judge, Ehud, and it is interesting, right? It's interesting that we hear about Ehud being a left-handed person. We don't see that throughout Scripture, but the text tells us that he was a left-handed man. Scholars believe that they called this out because there was a deformity to his right hand. That's what they believe. And why is it important that they call attention to him being a left hand? And they believe it, the scholars believe that this is important because of how the story played out. Kings did not allow people to have one-on-one counsel. That's why we hear that the king sent out his guards. He sent out the people in his inner circle. There was one-on-one attention with Ehud and Eglon. So what scholars believe is actually that the king looked at Ehud and said, he has a right deformed hand. There's no way that he can harm me. So he sent everyone out. But little did the king know there was more to the story. He lost his life that day, and also Israel became victorious. So I think this is a beautiful strategy. It's a beautiful strategy to also communicate that we as people often look at the outside, but we know the God that we serve does not. I think, again, for you note takers, we can also see that Ehud is a surprising choice, yet he was God's choice. That's important to know. Expect the unexpected. I also believe that this should encourage individuals that have physical or emotional or mental disabilities, that they believe that they are limited and can't serve God to their fullest. I believe that that's a lie. I believe that God can choose and he can use anyone that he wants to. It all revolves around your predetermined yes. God doesn't use what we would call normal methods to fulfill his purpose, friends. He doesn't use normal methods to fulfill his purpose. I often think that God uses and works in the unexpected. There's a lot of applicable pieces as we look at Judges chapter 3. We see God as a God of justice first, right? But he's also a God of compassion. We also see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the beauty there that the Holy Spirit came along and inside of people and they did amazing things for the kingdom. We also just read and heard that God doesn't use normal methods to fulfill his purpose. But there's also this overarching theme that we see in the Israelite people, that over and over again, Israel falls into trouble when they forget God's goodness, when they forget his promises, when they forget their history with him. So what about you and I? What about us? What do we go back to that, again, that overarching theme? If forgiveness and salvation are real to you and me, we will live them out in our lives. If salvation, right, and forgiveness was real to them, they would have lived it out in their lives. We're going to turn to one more passage, friends. This is actually a New Testament passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. New Testament, so we got to flip a little bit. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. And it says this, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. If forgiveness and salvation are real to you, you will live them out. So the question I have for you, friends, as we begin to wrap up, what are you doing to not forget about forgiveness and salvation? What are you doing to remember the promises of God? What are you doing to remember the transformative gospel that made you took you from old creation to new creation? Do you spend time in his word? Do you memorize his word? Do you journal and write things down? Do you have a small group or accountability partner? Do you talk to them with your spouse or a close friend? One of the things I love about my bride, she walks so closely with the Lord. She writes everything down on purpose so that in those dark moments of our lives or when we're struggling in marriage or trying to parent our kids well, we can bring back to our knowledge the promises of God and how he's delivered and how he's provided and how he's met needs over and over again. One of my favorite passages, we're not going to turn there, but it's Psalm 136. And in these verses, I think there's about 36 verses. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's somewhere in that range. But what it really, all that passage is it's the history of Israel. And it ends with that sentence, and his mercy endureth forever. That's King James. That's what it says. His mercy endureth forever. And all it is doing is it's someone wrote down, the psalmist wrote down all the history of how God was faithful and how he provided. My friends, as I wrap up, I think we need to learn from the Israelite people and not continue in the pattern that they had. I believe we need to understand that we only haven't been saved from something, right? Saved from something, but we've also been saved to some things, right? We've been saved to worship. We've been saved to testify about our life change to other peoples and share that with them. I believe we've been saved to live out those one another statements that we hear in the New Testament, but also live abundantly. I believe that Ehud points us to Jesus, my friends. God used a left-handed deliverer to save left-handed people. God takes and uses people who are in the margins of society in order to show that salvation is from him and not a human ability. As we think about Ehud being a left-handed deliverer, Jesus is the deliverer that many people ignored. His own people ignored him, and they looked over him, they looked past him, yet he was God's choice to redeem the world. Nothing about Jesus' life was expected, right? His birth, his birthplace, his occupation, or the people that he chose to spend time with. Not expected. As I wrap up, and I'm going to pray for us in a second, I love this idea of you guys know when you have a piece of clothing and there's a string on the end, and when you pull that, that's not wise to do that. My mom told me that. It unravels, right? It continues. What you need is just cut that off with a pair of scissors. But I want us to pull a thread a little bit. I don't want us to cut the string. I want us to pull on a thread, these ideas from this text this morning. So two questions for you, and I'll close this in prayer. When in your experience have you seen God using unexpected people or unpredictable means to do great things? I want you to remember it. Think about it. Write it down. Put it in the notes app in your phone so that you can go back to it later. I'll repeat that question again. When in your experience have you seen God using unexpected people and unpredictable means to do great things? The second question, I'll repeat again, what are you doing to not forget forgiveness and salvation? How are you holding true to remember his promises, to remember the history, to remember how he provides for you? What are you doing to not forget your forgiveness and your salvation? Thank you again for the opportunity to open God's word with you. Let me pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, there are so many truths, so many just nuggets of wisdom and tangible examples that we find in your word. Father, I pray that we would leave different than how we came in. I pray that we would leave eager to remember you, to remember just the beauty and the severity of you choosing us and loving us. You forgiving us from our sins, Lord, and drawing us to yourself, and now we are adopted into your family as children and heirs, Lord. God, I pray that we remember not to bash the Israelite people, but just to learn from their lesson and not do those same things in our lives and our hearts. Father, as we go from this place, I think and I believe and I pray that we can be a community, a church that impacts and influences eternity by how we live our lives and how we share you with others. Again, Father, I pray that we would be commissioned to go and to be different. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.
This time I'd like to invite Amon Martin. He's a member of the Pastor Church Relations Committee, the PCRC. And so they serve a number of roles here, and I'm going to invite Amon here at this time to make a presentation to our pastors. Amon.
Since this is Pastoral Appreciation Sunday, I would like to ask the pastoral team to come forward. And their wives, too. They are part of the team as well. I have gifts for each of you and from the congregation, and then I will have a prayer. Let us bow in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for our pastoral team, for the shepherding, for the shepherds that they are to us all. Guide them and care for them. Thank you, Lord, for their wisdom, for words of truth that you reveal to them. Thank you for their faith, for their exuberance of their praises, and the passion in their prayers. Lord, we pray for them. Please come and be their shepherd. Protect them, guard their minds, and minister to their hearts. Be their anchor. May their feet rest on your firm and solid foundation. Fill their vision and lift their eyes to see the beauty of your kingdom. Renew their hope, Lord. We ask that you would fill their sails of their hearts with your goodness and eternal truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Amon. And thank you to the committee that worked to put all that together. We appreciate that. So you all know when we celebrate something special here, we involve food. And so there's been folks working downstairs preparing food. Many of you brought something. Even if you didn't, you're welcome to stay. We really don't run out here. So it's kind of like the loaves and fishes, pretty much. So don't be bashful. Now, there is some special instructions for this morning because it is Appreciation Day. Now, this is especially for those of you under the age of 20, where the self-control thing still is kicking in. And so if you're under the age of 20, remember, let the pastors and their families, including their children, go first. And we're going to assume if you're ahead of them, you are getting food for them. Lots of nutritious things, not just cookies and all. So we want them to live a long time and be healthy. So remember, we want to allow them to go first. After we offer a word of thanks for the meal here. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning to hear the truth from your word, to be encouraged. We thank you for this good food that we're about to eat, for the fellowship that we'll enjoy. We ask your blessing upon our conversation. Help us to say and do things that you're eager to bless. And may we be an encouragement to those around us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go today and this week in the name of Christ, as you discover and live out the purpose for which you've been created, using what is in your hands, the gifts God has given you, to impact the lives of folks around you. Let's eat.